This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. It's great to have a longtime friend of mine. In fact, he's been my friend since 1986. That's a long time. That's about 31 years ago that I first met Bob Schaefer, and I went to a church that he was attending in Kingfisher, Oklahoma, and we've been friends ever since. So Bob is on with us today live on BPN Radio, and many people know Bob Schaefer because he has prayed the prayer of deliverance over so many people, stood for hours and hours giving of himself, and I'm so thankful that he's made such a marked difference in my life and so many thousands of other people. So Bob Schaefer from Kingfisher, Oklahoma, it's such a delight. Bob, of course, is he spoke freedom, deliverance over people's lives by the thousands, and many people listening today have been a recipient of the blessings and the prayers and the faith of Bob Schaefer. Bob, it's a delight and honor to have you on with me today.
Thank you, Dale. It's just a joy and a blessing for me to be with you. I've been looking forward to it.
Well,
I believe that God is going to do some incredibly wonderful things today.
I know that He is, and I've been looking forward to having you on with me ever since I started BPN Radio. You've had some physical challenges that have demanded your time and energy and resources, but here I get to have you on today, and I'm so delighted to have you on with me. And know that God has seen you through fire and floods and water, and He's a good God. And I know that you're a man of great faith. A lot of prayers have gone up. You've had how many back surgeries in the last few years?
Had six major surgeries in 6 years.
Six
and
major.
Ended up with 28 screws and large screws and two rods in my back. And it's been a difficult trip.
yeah, I know.
But God is helping me.
Yeah, He is. I know it's been a difficult journey, and I'm just so honored to have you on today. And, of course, I've prayed many prayers, and others that are listening today have prayed many prayers for Bob Schaefer's complete healing. But I'm so glad today that you're here with us live. And I know that you're going to eventually pray for people, and a lot of people are going to be ministered to and set free. I believe the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you in a mighty way and anoint you to do whatever you do best here on BPN Radio. Well, give us a little bit of your story, Bob. I'm just turning the microphone over to you. Give us a little bit of story, what God did in your life, and build faith before you start praying for people today.
All right, thank you, Dale. Well, it is just a joy for me to be here today. And before I start on any kind of a testimony, I want to declare a scripture that is so real to me. It's Paul speaking in Romans 15:18. He says, "I will not venture to speak of anything except what God has accomplished through me and leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and what I've done in mighty signs and miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ." So what I'm saying to you today, I'm not going to talk to you about anything that God is not currently working in me and through me in signs and miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that many lives are changed.
Yes.
And I tell everybody that if you give me an hour of your life, sometimes a couple of hours, but today about an hour, that it'll change your life forever.
Amen.
And before I get into where I came from, I'd like to just lay a little foundation, if I may, Dale.
Okay.
About liberty and freedom. Jesus has paid the price to set us free, but most Christians are not free. They're bound by all kinds of compulsions or problems, such as fear and worry and anxiety, sexual lusts and perversions, mm-hmm. pornography. Mm-hmm. You know that over 65% of the leadership in churches across America are involved in pornography.
Wow. Wow.
Adultery, suicidal thoughts, unforgiveness, yeah. bitterness, hatred, yeah. rage, anger, sickness, mm-hmm. or any other emotional disorders.
Yeah.
Yet many scriptures promise freedom. John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you'll free indeed." And Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." And 2 Corinthians 3, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom."
Mm-hmm.
But there are many people in the churches today in need of counseling that are not free. And so why are so many Christians not free? Psychiatric offices across the world, across America for sure, are just as full of Christians as they are non-Christians.
Yeah.
And does it mean that we cannot take the scriptures literally, or is there another answer? Our experience has shown that freedom is possible, and we can take the scriptures at face value. Mm-hmm. And that answer lies in taking Jesus seriously. Mm-hmm. The Christian church in many places, particularly in the Western world, has not accepted the threefold task given to us by Jesus. That was to preach the gospel, cast out demons, and to heal the sick.
Yeah.
We do a lot of preaching and preaching and preaching, but we don't do too much of the other. So, you know, people will say, well, that was for way back then. But when Jesus was preparing to go back to heaven in Matthew 28, he came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And what? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What did he command them? Preach the gospel, cast out demons, and heal the sick. But we just don't do much of that. Right. You know that Paul teaches us in Ephesians chapter 6, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God." Why? So that you can make your stand against the devil's schemes.
Mm-hmm.
"For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So we're not wrestling against each other and struggling against each other. Paul teaches us that we're struggling against demonic powers. And in 2 Corinthians 10:3, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Now, a stronghold, this is the only place in the New Testament that this word in the Greek occurs, but it's an easy word to understand because it's made up of root words, which literally means a place of strength, a place which is essentially and inherently strong. It is a place where evil is entrenched, where it's fortified, protected behind strong defenses. It's not out in the open, easily exposed and overthrown, but is fortified behind walls. When we accept Jesus as Lord, Satan does not quit trying to influence our lives. Many Christians have allowed the devil to establish a stronghold in their hearts, their minds, and their lives. And this stronghold is a place where the devil has gained a legal spiritual right to influence and wreck the life of Christians and take away their liberty and their freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through these strongholds that he contaminates them and their families and the life of their church. When the devil finds an unclean place, doubt and unbelief, he finds this place in a person's heart, and he has a legal right to build a beachhead, a citadel, fortress, a stronghold from which he seeks to exercise influence over the rest of their life. And he uses that stronghold to war against God and against the work of God and the life of that person. Strongholds are places of demonic influences that can and do occur in Christians.
Yeah.
So, you know, many people, Dale, have asked me, "Do you believe that a Christian can have a demon?" And I tell them, a Christian can have anything he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just wanted to lay that little foundation of teaching out, but I want to tell you a little bit about myself, and no way do I want to be glorified. I want everything that I say and do today give glory to Jesus.
Yes.
I was born in a family of 10 children. I'm third youngest. I have two younger twin sisters. Two of my brothers died in infancy. We were not affluent financially at all. And my father became crippled with rheumatoid arthritis, was absolutely could not walk hardly. And he couldn't work. So my mother went to work when I was 5 years old, worked 15, 16 hours a day trying to support all of us. And I had a very physical, abusive childhood. Was, you know, people talk about spankings today, but I got whoopings. Mm-hmm. I think you know what I'm talking about, Dale.
Yeah.
Some were just very abusive. And at the age of 6 or 7 till I was about 9, I was sexually abused by an extended family member. It was an awful situation. And then at about 10 years old, my mother was going to a Seventh-day Adventist church, and she was taking me to that church. And I gave my life to the Lord there at 10 years old, and it was an incredible experience. And I instantly knew that I was going to be a preacher. So I told everybody that I was going to be a preacher. You know, I had a lot of laughs when somebody would ask me, what are you going to do when you grow up? I'd tell them, I'm going to be a preacher. Mm-hmm. And my mother agreed with me. Mm-hmm. But at the age of 13, my mother decided to divorce my father, and she went away. And it was really a desertion to me. She did not take me with her. She took my sisters with her, but she did not take me. I probably wouldn't have gone anyway because I had to take care of my dad. So I took care of my father till I was 21, and he passed away when I was 21 years old. But at 15, I was introduced to alcohol, and it would really make me feel good. I would forget all the problems. I mean, I was taking care of my daddy. I was cooked all the meals, washed all the clothes, et cetera. And it just became a way of life. Every weekend was a party. And when I was 19 years old, my girlfriend became pregnant. I got married. When I was 21, we had another baby. When I was 25, we had another baby. I was in business, and I became very successful at it. I was a successful alcoholic, drinking profusely. I was drinking at least a quart of vodka every day. Mm. And that marriage ended in a divorce when I was 27 or 28 years old. And for 4 years, I was single. I was still drinking, but I was still working and making lots of money. I met my current wife, and she's just the most darling little thing ever. July the 17th, we have been married 46 years. And she and I had two children. I was still drinking. And we had made a move to Oklahoma. And I was in the oil field working in a very good job. But it was the alcohol was killing me. And I had been in a treatment center in the western part of this country for 36 days. And when I got out in 30 days, I was drinking again. Mm. I'd been in a halfway house for 2 weeks out in the middle of the desert. Started drinking after that. When I got to Oklahoma, I struggled with it, but I maintained I was what you'd call a functional alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I was determined every day to get up and go to work. Mm-hmm. But all through the day, I drank. And Mary Ellen helped me on many occasions to detox myself, which was a horrible thing. It was a three-day DTs, or delirious tremors. Mm-hmm. And it was just awful. I was laying in bed one night and thinking that I just had to go through another detox. My life was just really in a mess. And so I was just laying in bed, and I said a prayer, but I didn't know it was a prayer. I just said, God, you got to help me. And he showed up in the room just so powerful. The light and all were just so bright. I couldn't even look at it. Wow. And he told me, he said, "Son, you're gonna die. And your children are going to hate you because you didn't take care of yourself." I started crying. And I just instantly knew that Jesus was the answer. All of these AA programs was not the answer. So I told my wife the next morning that I had to go away to get detoxed. I was afraid to try to do it myself because I afraid I might die. So I went away to a treatment center. And it was a 24-day treatment center. And when I got there, my alcohol level was 0.37, which is four times the legal limit. And I was functional. And in 3 days, they detoxed me. And I was determined that I was there for no other reason but to ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life. So I'm standing in my room, just pajama bottoms on, no shirt, no shoes. And I just said, "God, if you're really who you say you are, if you'll get me out of the mess I'm in, I'll go anywhere and I'll do anything you ask me to do." And the power of God hit me.
Hallelujah.
God just, boy, I got slammed on the floor.
Hallelujah.
And it just started, boy, the power of God. They thought I was having a seizure, which alcoholics do sometimes.
Yeah.
Threw me on the floor, and I just started laughing and laughing. I thought I went through this big crying spell, and then laughed and laughed and laughed. The joy of the Lord just engulfed me. And they had me go to a AA meeting the next morning. And, you know, they told me that I had to, in order to talk, I had to say, "My name is Bob, and I'm an alcoholic." But I wouldn't say that. I said, "No, Jesus came in my life yesterday, and he set me free." And, they got upset with me, and they told me that I was in denial, and I had to go and stay in my room. They wouldn't run me off because they wanted the money, you know. So they said I'd have to stay in my room until I decided that I was an alcoholic. And they sent a priest to see me. They sent a Methodist preacher to see me. And I kept telling them, "No, Jesus saved me. I'm not an alcoholic anymore." And, they just couldn't understand that. But they left me alone. I found a Gideon Bible and in a drawer in my room. And in 21 days, I read the Bible, the whole thing. And when I came out of there, I was so in love with him. Went back to my work, and I ran a big dirt construction company. And a lot of tough guys worked for me. They asked me how I enjoyed my vacation. I said, "I wasn't on a vacation. I went away to a treatment center and got introduced to Jesus, and he changed my life." So in a course of 8 months, I led probably 250, maybe 300 people to the Lord. Wow. I wasn't even going to church.
Wow.
I memorized mostly Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, a large part of the epistles of Paul. Just could not get enough of him. And I wanted to go tell my children, my three adult children, two in California, one in Arizona, about Jesus. But I was afraid to get on a plane because every time I got on a plane, I just drank a lot. And every morning when I'd get up, I still wanted to drink. I didn't, but I wanted to. And there was sometimes it was just overwhelming, and I would just get in a fetal position, sometimes in the front seat of my pickup, and just cry out to God. I mean, I'm sitting up with many people around me. And it was one of those deals where I used to carry cases of booze in my car, in my truck, you know, give to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept crying out to him, and it'd go away. The thought would go away, and this for 10 minutes, then be pretty soon it was a day, and then several days would go by, and I wouldn't think about it. Well, after about 8 months, I wasn't thinking about it at all, so I got on a plane to go see my kids. I had to go to Dallas to change planes.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was walking through the concourse, I ended up in a cocktail lounge, and this bartender's asked me, "What do you have?" And I just knew I wanted to drink so bad. But I knew that if I did, it'd kill me. So So I ran out of the place. You know, in DFW, there is no place to hide, no phone booth, no nothing.
I know.
So people everywhere. So I just turned my face to the wall near the men's restroom and just out on the outside of it, but near there. And I remember the scripture, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the word saved is sozo, it's healed, delivered, made whole. Not just going to heaven.
Right.
So I started saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And there was nothing happening. And so the Lord spoke to me. He said, are you ashamed of my name, son? So I said it louder. Jesus. Nothing happened. And finally, I just shouted it out just as loud as I could. Of course, it caused a stir. People started staring at me.
Yeah.
But when I did that, when I shouted his precious name, there was a growling that came out of my belly, and then this bulge came in my neck, and this thing came out of my mouth, just coughed it out, and instantly I was free. I was free of alcohol. That was April the 14th, 1984, and I have not wanted to drink since then.
Wow.
And God set me free from that. And I'm in love with Jesus, leading many people to the Lord, and there was a demon spirit controlling my life about drinking and not giving me the liberty that I should have had. I went on to California and Arizona. I led my three kids to the Lord, and in 6 months, they were all in Oklahoma. One of them was youth pastor. Two of them became children's pastors. The other one was an evangelist.
Wow.
And I was still just teaching Sunday school.
Uh-huh.
So it was incredible what God did. And as soon as I got back, I knew that there was people that were in the same shape that I was in, going to church, but still having problems in their life.
Yeah.
So all these people that I'd led to the Lord started coming to me. I just told them, I said, you know, Lord, if you want me to do this, if I'm supposed to be casting out devils, send me somebody. So you know how he is. He just does what you're asking.
Uh-huh.
So these people would start coming to me at night, and we would be, Mary Ellen and I would be 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning ministering to people and casting this junk and addictive behaviors and unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and resentment and all these things that were in drug addictions. And they would be free for 2 or 3 weeks, and here they are, they'd come back. And this way going on, and we were exhausted. So I asked the Lord to teach me how to present this, to stay, get free and stay free. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you a little thumbnail sketch. Would that be all right, Dale?
Absolutely. You go for it, Bob.
He asked his disciples in Matthew 16. He said, who do men or who do people say that I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said, but what do you say? Who do you say that I am? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, it's very important who you say that I am, not just with your mouth, but with your whole attitude. If I really am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in your life, your shoulders will be back. Your chin will be up. You'll be walking with a lilt in your voice because I'm the King of your life. Not because you say so, but because you demonstrate that by your behavior and who you are and who I am in you. And Peter answered him and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And he said, it's upon this rock that I'll build my church. The rock, meaning the revelatory knowledge that Jesus is the Christ, that the Holy Spirit reveals to a man or woman or child's heart. And when that happens and they say yes to him, they get saved. And then he said, and see, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Somebody asked him, when we see the kingdom of heaven, he said, the kingdom of heaven is not over here, it's not over there. The kingdom of heaven is within you. So the kingdom of heaven is in us. And he said, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, I bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I loose in heaven. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you bind me out of your life more than you do the devil. I said, Lord, how do I do that? So he took me into Genesis chapter 4, and this is the story of Cain and Abel. And they were bringing a sacrifice to God. And Abel brought the sacrifice lamb. It's the Lamb of God slain since the foundation of the world. That's what that represented, the blood of the lamb. He brought that, and God accepted it. But Cain brought his works, the produce that he had worked very hard in the fields to produce. It's like our works. He brought that to God, and God rejected it, and it made Cain very angry. And so he started venting that anger on Abel, and as you well know, he ended up murdering him.
Yeah.
But in the process, God says to him, why are you angry? Don't you know that if you do right, you'd be rewarded? But if you don't, sin is crouching at your door, and it's his desire to have you, but you must learn to rule over him. So he taught me a couple of things there. First of all, we have a spiritual door in our life, and that you have the keys to, and that he put a personality to sin. He said it's his desire to have you, but you must learn to rule over him. So he showed us, told me that there's a demon spirit crouching at the door of my life with a desire to have me, but I have to learn to rule over him. So I meditated on that for some time, and I didn't have full revelation on where God was taking me. But a few weeks later, he took me into the book of Revelation. And Jesus has lifted John up into the heavenlies, and he's dictating letters to him. He dictated seven letters to him to seven churches. These are all born-again believers. These are all people that Paul planted most of these churches 35 or 40 years before. And so they're all born-again believers. And to the church of Laodicea, he said, right, I would rather that you're hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. You say that you're wealthy and have need of nothing, but I say you're wretched, naked, blind, and poor. This is a horrible indictment against born-again believers. And then Jesus says, he gives them a little dissertation on how to get right with him by gold refined in the fire, white raiment for righteousness, etc. And I'm not going to go into that today, but he was telling them how to get right with him. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Mm-hmm. If any man opens the door, I'll come in and I'll have a relationship with him. I'll dine with him.
Mm-hmm.
I hear preachers preaching that, Dale, as salvation.
Yeah.
That's not a salvation, but these people already knew Jesus.
I agree.
I mean, they're born-again believers. But what had happened is they had shut the door on him, and they had bound him out of their life. This is the same door that Jesus showed me in Genesis. It's just a different doorway. So if you can picture in your mind a double doorway, and instead of having two doors on it, it has one door hinged in the middle. And when you shut it one way, you open that doorway. When you shut it the other way, it opens that doorway. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Yeah, absolutely.
So Jesus is knocking on the door of our life, trying to get back in. So when we open the door to him, he comes in. When we do, we shut the door on the devil. And that's the door in Genesis, where he is crouching at the door with a desire to have you. So there's several ways that the enemy will use to try to get into your life. You know, first of all, Jesus never says to you again, who do you say that I am? But he allows circumstances to come into your life, and they demand an answer. That he is the Lord of your life. Who do you say that I am? What we do is, without saying it, we would say, well, if you were anybody, Jesus, I wouldn't have to do all this worrying and all this being fearful and anxious, etc. And so what we do, when we do that, we automatically shut the door on him, and we start operating in fear instead of faith. Am I making sense to you, Dale?
Absolutely. Keep going.
So there's several ways that the enemy works to try to get that door open to you so that he can influence your life and influence your children's lives. Let me just give you an example, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, if you have a lot of acreage in Colorado Rocky Mountain High, you have 1,000 acres, and you meet me and you like me, and you invite me to come onto your property, and I like it so well. And you say, well, you can have this acre down here to live on. So when I get on it, I start crashing up the property. You have to give me access to it. It's a law, but you have to give me access. I have to cut a little road into my property. And then I start trashing it up and having wild parties, throwing beer cans, all this stuff all over. And you come and say, you can't do that. This is my property. I say, yes, I can. You gave it to me. And you can't, you can't get him out unless you go get the sheriff. Mm-hmm. And get a judgment against him to get him out. And that's the same way it is with the devil. When we give him a place in our life, you can't get him out by ordering him around. You have to call on the name of Jesus. and you can evict him from your property.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So there's several ways that the enemy gets in. Unrepented sin. You know, it's not all these... all of these things that you've done that you're ashamed of and all that kind of stuff. The main thing that the enemy uses to get into your life is deceit. He wants to deceive you so that you will believe the circumstance and not Jesus. So if he can get you to do that, then you start living in fear. It's unbelief. You know, he said the children of Israel will never able to enter God's rest because of unbelief. So doubt and unbelief is a big door opener for the devil. It's almost the root of every sin, where you don't believe God, when you don't trust God, when you don't trust his perfect love for you. Mm-hmm. Perfect love casts out fear.
Yeah.
And when we don't have that, when we're not believing God and his perfect love for us, we open the door to the devil and fear comes in, and that's what we start living on, is fear, worry, and anxiety. A lot of people say, well, I'm not fearful, I'm just concerned.
Yeah.
Well, I think in heaven that would be spelled F-E-A-R. Mm-hmm. So that's where people operate most of the time. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, Dale, I've ministered to tens of thousands of people across this country, and so many of them, all of them, operate in some doubt and unbelief. You know, because you can talk to most people, and when they're really honest with you, most of them have operated in fear. Mm-hmm. And anxious. They're anxious about things. Mm-hmm. So that's unrepented sin. So we don't go around saying, Father, I'm so grateful that I'm forgiven for not trusting you. Mm-hmm. Because we always say, oh, no, I trust him, but we don't behave that way.
Right.
Another one is unforgiveness. You know, and he teaches us in Luke chapter 5, Matthew 5, I think it is, where he says, if you're on the way to the altar with your gift and you remember your brother has ought against you, leave your gift at the altar, go be reconciled to your brother and come back and offer your gift. Mm-hmm. And then he took me into Matthew 18. And he was teaching on forgiveness, and he said, if your brother sins against you, go be reconciled and just the two of you alone. If he hears you, you've saved him. If he doesn't, take it to the church. So he goes on to say, and the church would be to the elders, to the people that really care and love him. Then he said, If he still doesn't hear, take two or three witnesses with you. And if he doesn't hear that, take it to the church. And then when you take it to the church, if he still doesn't hear that, he said, you want to treat him like a pagan or a tax collector. Mm-hmm. Now, most people say, yeah, that's what I would do. I'd treat him like an IRS agent. No, you got to treat him with love.
Yeah.
People that don't know Jesus, you treat him as though he didn't know Jesus.
Yeah.
You love them. But most people don't do that. So Peter says to him, says, if my brothers, then he goes around in that same discourse that I just talked about. Whatever you bind on earth, I bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I loose in heaven. He's talking about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful thing that he has given us to release people. You know that in the book of John, when he came into the upper room where they were all afraid, and he spoke to them and said, peace. And he came in and he says, as my Father sent me, so I send you. We've done it. Receive thee the Holy Spirit. As my Father sent me, so I send you. If you forgive men's sins, they're forgiven. If you don't, they're not. So it's a powerful responsibility that we have. Yeah. So Peter asked, if my brother sins against me seven times, should I forgive him seven times? He said, not seven times, but 70 times seven.
Yeah.
And in other words, just live a life of forgiveness. There was a king that owed, was set up these accounts with his servants. The first one owed him 10,000 talents, an unpayable debt. The king was going to throw him and his whole family in debt, in debtor's prison. Mm-hmm. But he cried out for mercy, and the king canceled the debt and released him. That's a picture of us, our salvation.
Yeah.
That the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is Jesus Christ. So this servant goes right out and finds a fellow servant that owed him 100 denarii, probably about $20. And it says that he choked him and throttled him and demanded that he pay back what he owed. And the man couldn't. So he ended up throwing him in debtor's prison. The people heard about it, and so they told the king, and he called him in and said, you wicked servant, you should have had mercy on him like I did you, but because you didn't, I'm turning you over to the jailers to be tortured or tormented until you pay the entire debt. I'm going to tell you how this works.
Okay.
When I was a little boy, I was molested by this person, and most of my adult my life, I really was angry about that. And I was a fighter and a scrapper. And if I'd been around that person, I probably would have hurt them. But the Lord told me, he said, I want you to take your hands off of the throat of that man that molested you and release him and forgive him. He said, just like I did you. And said, what you're doing is you're demanding that he give back to you what he took, and he can't. It's impossible for him to give it back. And so the torment that I was going through because I hadn't forgiven was, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe my parents allowed that to happen. Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was a big torment for him. So I made a choice to just forgive him. You know, forgiveness is not a mushy-gushy feeling. It's a choice.
That's right.
So I forgave him.
That's right.
And there was a great release in my life. I started praying for him. Just as an incredible experience. 5 or 6 months later, he called me on the phone, drove 1,000 miles to meet me. God saved him, delivered him, and he's a friend of mine to this day. So
wow.
It's a powerful, powerful thing. It's forgiveness.
Yes.
So with the time we've got, I think maybe what I'll do, Dale, is just do some personal ministry here.
Okay.
And corporately, that's all right with you?
Absolutely. So I've been taking notes right now. We have the doors of unrepentance and the doors of unforgiveness that allows Satan to come in.
Yes, he does. Yes. And there's a host of others, but those are the main ones. They're and the enemy is so subtle, we don't realize that.
Right.
You know, if you think about how he tempted Eve, mm-hmm. it was always about doubt and unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Did God really say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you'll eat this, you'll be like God. He's telling her that God didn't speak the truth because mm-hmm. he made them in his image. And so when he tempted Jesus, when he entered that serpent, at the Garden of Eden, he entered. The serpent didn't talk. He spoke through it. The serpent doesn't have any vocal cords. It was the enemy talking through it. And same way with Jesus. When Jesus was in the wilderness, mm-hmm. the devil showed up. He didn't stand up there and see him. He spoke to him just like he does us. Mm-hmm. He was tempted in all ways as we are.
Yeah.
And that was through his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy spoke to him and said, if you are the Son of God, there's a doubt word, if.
Yeah.
And Jesus just drew out the sword of the Spirit immediately, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so it's so subtle.
Yeah.
We don't hear it. And so when we're living in selfishness,
yeah,
instead of love,
uh-huh,
where we want back what somebody has taken from us,
mm-hmm,
whether it be our reputation or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm,
you're not going to get it back. But what you can do is you can release them and you'll be free.
Yeah.
And yeah, when I always tell everybody, I'm not going to go to jail for anybody, because you're turned over to the jailer. That's the devil.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to jail for anybody. I'm going to love the unlovable, and I'm going to forgive the unforgivable.
Yeah.
I'm going to release all of that. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I know there's so much in you, Bob Schaefer. I'm going to have you to come back, but we've got about 10 minutes. And I believe that chains are going to be broken today, and lives are going to be touched and changed and transformed as you pray, as you lead people in prayers of deliverance. So go for it.
Thank you, Dale. You know, I want you to just, if you'll do what I ask you to do, I promise you that God will impact your life like never before. And it's so simple. I want you to just pray a little prayer with me. And then I'm going to say some things I'm going to teach you to say some things, and then I'm going to come behind you and agree. And it will really impact your life.
Yes.
So say this little prayer with me. Say, Father, thank you that I'm forgiven.
Father, thank you that I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven of all sin.
I'm forgiven of all sin.
At Calvary, you forgave me.
At Calvary, you forgave me.
For all the past, present, and future sins.
For all the past, present, and future sins.
Every sin of the world was placed on your son, Jesus.
Every sin of the world was placed on your son, Jesus.
And he became sin for us.
And he became sin for us.
So I'm forgiven.
So I'm forgiven.
And my heart is overflowing with gratitude and thanksgiving, Father, for the forgiveness.
And my heart is overflowing with gratitude and thanksgiving for you forgiving me.
And I choose to do the same.
I will do the same.
I choose to forgive myself.
I choose to forgive myself.
No matter how I failed.
No matter how I failed.
Or how I blame myself.
Or how I blame myself.
I forgive myself.
I forgive myself.
And Father, if I blamed you for anything, I forgive you.
And Father, if I blamed you for anything, I forgive you.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Just say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Say thank you that I'm forgiven for all anger.
Thank you that I'm forgiven for all anger.
Unforgiveness and bitterness.
Unforgiveness and bitterness.
Towards anybody.
Towards anybody.
I only live like this when I don't trust you.
I only live like this when I don't trust you.
When I haven't trusted your perfect love.
When I haven't trusted your perfect love.
That casts out all fear.
That casts out all fear.
I know I haven't trusted you because I've been fearful and worried and anxious.
I know that I haven't trusted you because I've been worried and full of fear and anxious.
So, Father, thank you that I'm forgiven.
Thank you that I'm forgiven, Father.
For all doubt and unbelief.
For all doubt and unbelief.
All fear.
All fear.
I release all of that to you today.
I release all of that to you today.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah to your holy name.
Hallelujah.
And I stand in your awesome power today.
And I stand in your awesome power today.
That same power that raised Jesus from the dead.
That same power that raised Jesus from the dead.
I bind all spirits of doubt and unbelief.
I bind all spirits of doubt and unbelief.
I break your power off my life.
I break your power off my life.
And I command you to get out in Jesus' name.
I command you to get out in Jesus' name.
Now, I'm going to be in agreement with you, and as I'm in agreement with you, I want you to take some deep breaths through your mouth and let it out. And I'm in agreement. I break the power of all doubt and all unbelief. Your assignment against all these precious people is broken, and I command you to release them and go right now in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. That thing is broken.
Hallelujah.
In the mighty name of Jesus, get out.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Broken and canceled in the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I stand against all fear.
Hallelujah.
Say that with me. Say, I break off all fear.
I break off all fear.
Fear of failing God.
Fear of failing God.
Fear that things aren't going to change.
Fear that things will never change.
Fear that this is the way it's always going to be.
Fear that this is the way it's always going to be.
Fear of poverty.
Fear of poverty.
In Jesus' name, get out of my life.
In Jesus' name, get out of my life.
And I'm going to be in agreement. You're going to take some deep breaths. And I'm in agreement. I break the power of all fear. Fear of failing God. Fear of missing God. Fear that things aren't ever going to change. That power is broken. In Jesus' name, get out. All of it out. All fear. God did not give you the spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. So all fear, you're out of here. Fear of failing God. Fear of missing God. Fear of poverty, fear of lack, in Jesus' name, get out. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Say this with me. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I bind all spirits of heaviness.
I bind all spirits of heaviness.
Depression.
Depression.
Grief, sadness, and sorrow.
Grief, sadness, and sorrow.
Get out of my life.
Get out of my life.
Take your hand and just brush your shoulders off. And I stand in the power of God as I bind every spirit of heaviness. In Jesus' name, you release them and go now. In Jesus' name, all heaviness broken and canceled. All depression, get out right now. Take a deep breath. It's going to go right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, all heaviness is broken, canceled. In the mighty name, get out. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Depression, you got out right now. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I stand in the power of God as I break off every spirit of unforgiveness and bitterness, hatred, rage, anger. That thing is broken. Get out right now in the mighty name of Jesus. All anger, all resentment, broken. Take a deep breath. It's going to go right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say this out loud with me. Say, I release everybody.
I release everybody.
That's hurt me.
That's hurt me.
Maligned me or mistreated me.
Maligned me and mistreated me.
Those that rejected me.
Those that have rejected me.
I release them right now.
I release them right now.
And I bless them today.
And I bless them today.
And I stand in your power, God.
And I stand in your power, God.
As I break off all rejection.
I break off all rejection.
Self-rejection.
Self-rejection.
Self-hate.
Self-hate.
In Jesus' name, get out of my life.
In Jesus' name, get out of my life.
And I'm in agreement. I break the power of all rejection. Rejection by mother, rejection by father, rejection by spouse. That thing is broken, and I command it to get out right now in the mighty name of Jesus. All rejection. Rejection. Take a deep breath because that stuff is coming off of you in the mighty name of Jesus. Self-rejection, self-hate,
yes.
Self-condemnation.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, get out right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, it is canceled. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Say this with me. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I bind all spirits of condemnation.
I bind all spirits of condemnation.
Guilt.
Guilt.
Unworthiness.
Unworthiness.
Worthlessness.
Worthlessness.
uselessness.
Uselessness.
Hopelessness.
Hopelessness.
All despair.
All despair.
In Jesus' name, get out of my life.
In Jesus' name, get out of my life.
And I'm in agreement. I break the power of all condemnation and all guilt. You take a deep breath right now. All guilt, get out right now in the mighty name of Jesus. All hopelessness, worthlessness, uselessness, and all despair are broken in Jesus' name. Get out right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Deep breath. It's all gone right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I hear the Holy Spirit saying, I'm releasing a fresh new hope Hallelujah. In your life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
New hope. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
So you say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name
put your
of
hands
Jesus.
Right on your head.
In the name of Jesus.
Put one on each side of your head and say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I bind all spirits of confusion.
I bind all spirits of confusion.
Mind control.
Mind control.
Mind blocking spirits.
Mind blocking spirits.
Loose me and go in Jesus' name.
Loose me and go in Jesus' name.
And I'm in agreement. I break the power of all condemnation. Get out right now. All condemnation.
Yes.
Get out right now.
Yes.
All confusion
yes.
and mind control.
Yes.
Broken. All confusion, you release and go right now in the name of Jesus. Unwrap yourself around the head and get out right now in the name of Jesus. I declare and decree over every one of you today that you have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. You
yes.
have God thoughts and God ideas.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Releasing the anointing to remove all of the confusion
Hallelujah.
And mind control. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I bind all spirits of death.
I bind all spirits of death.
Death wish.
Death wish.
Suicide.
Suicide.
In Jesus' name, get out of my life.
In Jesus' name, get out of my life.
And I'm in agreement. I break the power of all spirits of death. Death wish and suicide. Your assignment is broken. In Jesus' name, get out. Hallelujah. There are people that are listening right now that have even thought about taking their own life.
Yeah.
This life is not worth living. I break that power right
yes.
now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
It is canceled.
Yes.
You take a deep breath. It's coming out of you right now in the
yes.
mighty name of Jesus. All death. Death over your finances. Death over your marriage.
Yeah.
Death over your future. Death over your destiny. Death over your ministry. That thing is broken.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, get out.
Yes.
Deep breath. Broken. Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Ramashiko.
Ramando
Serebakatai.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Put your hand on your forehead, and I just say, Father, I just release the anointing and the power of your spirit into every individual that's listening today, and the spirit of life.
Yes.
Life over them today.
Yes.
I declare and decree that you shall live and not die.
That's
I
right.
I decree that your marriage shall live and not die.
That's
your
right.
Your finances shall live and not die.
That's
you
right.
You shall live and not die.
That's
your
right.
destiny and your ministry shall flourish. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Because the spirit of life is in you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Kuri sikataro bo ute. Era bra atara bo to rebe ere era ba ato.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kuri sikorite era bo ute. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for your liberty. Thank you for your
Hallelujah.
Love, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your precious grace.
Yes, Lord.
I just love you today, Lord. I love you today.
Oh.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You change your life forever if you just incorporate the word thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
About 500 times a day. Thank
yes.
you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
You get in the gates. You
thank
get in
you,
the
Jesus.
Gates by thanking him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank
you,
Jesus.
Thank
you.
Thank
Can't
you,
say
Jesus.
Thank you enough, Lord.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord. Thank
Everything
you, Lord.
I have is from you, so
yes,
thank
Lord.
You.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
The next word would be hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It means praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father,
hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I tell you, the devil hates to hear that.
I know.
When you start praising God with hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord. And thank you,
Jesus.
Father.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you and bless you and honor you and magnify
yes,
your
Lord.
Name. Hallelujah. 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 Karatori ite. Korite sete raba atta. Ruba ite saraba atta. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just know, Bob Schaefer, people are getting set free right now. They are being delivered. Hallelujah. And set free. Glory to God. Keratori isekatara ba'ata sarabata rube ida ba'atara ba'ute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, now if anybody wants to respond to me or help, need some extra help, they can get in touch with me on Facebook.
Okay.
I'd be blessed to help them any way I can.
Okay. What is your face? Is it just Bob Schaefer?
Bob Schaefer, yeah.
S-H-A-F-E-R.
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, Bob Schaefer. And, Bob, I want you to come back. You realize that we have run 5 minutes over time. I've only done this two or three times, but I know that people are being set free. And as you are able, I would like for you to come back and we'll pray some more because I believe that people are getting set free. I encourage people to go to your Facebook page and also encourage people to get your CDs concerning how they can make their deliverance proclamations and declarations. Bob Schaefer, you're going to come back. I bless you and I ask God to bless
you
in Jesus' name. And you're going to be back soon. God bless
you. Thank you, Dale. I love you very much.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you, Bob Schaefer.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.